This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our adventures in Acts with repentance that leads to life. First called Christians, martyrdom of James, Peter rescued, and when you pray but don't expect an answer. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Earlier this week, we interviewed Jay Sonstrom about the failures of scientism. Jay is a member of Our Savior's Way Lutheran Church in Ashburn, Virginia, a physicist and optical engineer. He spent his career as an experimental scientist for the United States Army's Night Vision Lab, and he's author of the book Loving Science But Not the Empire, How Real Science Reveals a Creator, But the Establishment Keeps Us in the Dark. We covered questions like the scientific method. What is it really? What is scientism? Can the evolutionary model explain the evidence that we find in the world around us? Well, let's pick up where we left off with Jay's answer to the question, how is the discipline of anthropology ruled by the philosophies of naturalism and materialism?
Anthropology is dead in the middle of what we talked about earlier. It's one of the historical sciences. So interpretation is everything. You know, you find some bones, but what do the bones mean? Where did they come from? How did they get there, etc.? It's rife for interpretation. In anthropology is really, I think, there's more examples of hoaxes and gaffes probably than any other field of science. And I give lots of examples of these in the book, like Piltdown Man was probably the greatest hoax in modern science. Piltdown Man was in this gravel pit in England in a place called Piltdown. One year they found most of a human skull, but missing the jaw. And like 4 years later in the same gravel pit, they found a jaw, but it was ape-like. So they said that the skull went with the jaw. This must be, you know, a pre-human. So, I mean, this is just such a good example of what you're asking about. Naturalism feeds the whole narrative. So here you have probably a human skull and an unknown, at the time, unknown jaw. They associate them together and make another form of a hominid or a pre-human out of them. And over decades, Piltdown Man was the subject of something like 500 PhD theses. So person after person in the field of anthropology was writing papers on Piltdown Man. And it turned out years later that Piltdown was completely a hoax, that the jaw was the jaw of an orangutan, and it had been placed in the gravel pit. It's a great mystery. It's kind of a whodunit. Nobody still knows who did it or exactly why, but it's now known that it was a hoax. And then the scientific establishment turned on this fossil evidence because guess what? It no longer fit what their latest theories of anthropology were. So they decided to abandon Piltdown Man, and then all of a sudden, voila, they could tell that it was a fake. So it's sad, again, coming from background in experimental science and doing physics for a living, this kind of, quote, science, unquote, was just unknown to me.
What about the science of geology? How is it affected?
Yeah, same thing. Modern geology has adopted a concept known as uniformitarianism. Again, it's how the geologist interprets what they find in the rocks. This new version of understanding of the rock layers actually predates Darwin and Darwinism. Geologists over about a 50-year period went from being catastrophists, that is, through most of human history, people looked at the rock layers and that, you know, you look at a gorge and the layers in the gorge, or you look at the Grand Canyon and the fantastic layers in the canyon. And you go, okay, well, how did these rocks come to be here? Well, for most of human history, we understood that there was a worldwide flood, and that covered the earth, and it left behind all these rock layers. Well, as I was saying, over about a 50-year period, geology kind of came up with a new theory called uniformitarianism, which is that the present is the key to the past. So currently we don't see huge layers of sediments being laid down on top of one another worldwide like this. So it must be that it happened one layer at a time. And it took all those years for all the layers to build up. That's the current view of the empire, as you will, that this took 4 billion years to accumulate, and that's how all these rock layers came to be. But the evidence is what the rock layers are, and so how they came to be, that's a matter of interpretation. And so how it fits in with naturalism is the empire needs huge ages for evolution to be invoked. Unless you have millions of years, you know, hundreds of millions of years for everything to evolve, then evolution is just a non-starter. And so we need huge ages. And if you need huge ages, well, you find them in the rocks. Even if that's not how the rocks came to be, if the rocks came to be as a result of a giant worldwide flood, well, that's not a theory that the empire can talk about. They can only talk about their idea of uniformitarianism, and that's the explanation for how the rocks came to be. So that's what the empire teaches and preaches, and that's what they teach our kids in public schools, and that's what you see if you watch nature shows, et cetera, et cetera.
How is astronomy and cosmology running up against the evidence as well?
Here it's kind of fun. I'm an amateur astronomer as a hobby. It's been my hobby since I was back in high school. So I've been reading astronomy textbooks and astronomy journals and things for most of my adult life. So I kind of track what's going on in astronomy. But I'm not an astronomer. That's not my profession. But having followed astronomy closely, I kind of have seen things develop. Most people think, well, I don't know, for your listeners, I don't know what most people think about the Big Bang Theory. In my book, I say I'm not big on the Big Bang Theory. The average Joe has no idea how many different kinds of assumptions are actually built into the model, where the assumptions will determine what the theory can even produce in terms of how the bang happened and developed. So a lot of stuff is built into the assumptions behind the theory. And really, the Big Bang Theory is in the realm of cosmology. Astronomy is more the observable part of what most people think of as astronomy. You know, you can study a star, or you can... the things that we actually have signals coming to us from the universe, the things that we can capture and study, that's astronomy. But when you come to try to understand how it came to be again, that's the Big Bang Theory and related things. That's more in the subject of cosmology. The Big Bang Theory has all kinds of things attached to it now. And one thing I kind of get a kick out of is there's many constants in science. Like in physics, there's the gravitational constant that was measured, you know, a long time ago. You know it's so many decimal places, very well known. There's dozens, probably hundreds of different constants in science. In astronomy, there's something called the Hubble constant. And over a period of about 20 years, I watched as the Hubble constant changes its value so much that the entire understanding of what's going on with the universe changed from a model that the universe was expanding hugely, but then it was going to stop expanding and then come back on itself and collapse, and then it would repeat. This is what Carl Sagan taught back in the day of the cosmos, his series, The Cosmos. So They thought based on what the Hubble constant was and other things related in astronomy that the universe was going to grow, expand, recontract, and come back together. There's no way to know this, but then that would be repeated through time. Boom, 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 lots of big bangs in a row or whatever. But now the Hubble constant changes value so much, and along with some other related measurements in astronomy, they are saying that the universe is expanding, but now it's expanding at an accelerating rate. And there's no physics that understands this or comprehends it. And so they've invoked something called cold dark energy. And also the universe has to be filled with another type of matter that we don't understand. It's a type of matter unknown to man. It's not like the matter that we can study and all. So it's cold dark matter. So now 90-some% of the universe is now believed to be cold dark energy and cold dark matter, all things that we can't even study or see. So, you know, all of these things come back to how the model of the Big Bang was constructed and the fact that it's impossible in their thought scheme that there could have been a God who just kind of created the entire visible universe that we can see and observe. It had to have come by some kind of naturalistic means. So it leads to all kinds of odd things that are not really scientific.
Finally, how can Christians embrace real science?
Well, this kind of gets back to the gist of my book, why I wrote this book in the first place. And again, the title is Loving Science, but Not the Empire. As a Christian, you know, I've been in a lot of environments where people are, and many Christians have a bad attitude about science because supposed science, you know, has supposedly shown all these things, and so many of these things seem to be contrary to what we read about in the Bible as far as a creator and a designer and so on. So people could get a bad attitude about science. But what I try to point out in the book is that real science is not the enemy. If you go back and think about empirical science, experimental science, the kind of science that I did in my career as, you know, working for the Army as a physicist and a scientist dealing with the light sciences, that's all good stuff. I mean, that's experimental science, really, I think, at its best, showing that science can work. And of course, we know so many good things that have been developed that are good for humankind and whatnot that have come about as the results of real science and experimental science. But the challenge is to discern, you know, real science from the bogus science and scientism, which is the belief that only science and this naturalistic version of science can provide an explanation for all things. So real science, I used to teach Sunday school classes on related topics, and I used to tell the folks, real science is not the enemy. The scientific method is not the enemy. You can go and do that for a living, and there's no reason that Christians can't do this and can't be involved in this and do it as a vocation, a worthy vocation. But understand that you are going to be immersed into the field that's owned by the empire. It will be a challenge from that standpoint. And wherever you intersect with the origins issue, the empire's got it wrong. They've got quite a set of bogus explanation for things, but that's the only explanation that we're allowed to hear about.
Jay Sonstrom is a member of Our Savior's Way Lutheran Church in Ashburn, Virginia. He's a physicist and optical engineer. He spent his career as an experimental scientist for the United States Army's Night Vision Lab, and he's author of the book Loving Science, But Not the Empire, How Real Science Reveals a Creator, But the Establishment Keeps Us in the Dark. You can purchase this book at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Jay, thanks.
All right. Thank you very much for having me today.
Dr. Joel Bierman, professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, will join us to discuss moralistic therapeutic deism right after the break.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our adventures in Acts with repentance that leads to life. First called Christians, martyrdom of James, Peter rescued, and when you pray but don't expect an answer. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry. lcms.org/deaconess.
It's commonly said that heresies are 90% truth and only 10% wrong, but it's the 10% that subverts all of Christian doctrine and all of Christian teaching by the essential errors that they promote. Well, if you're wondering about heresies, both ancient and modern, you should pick up a copy of the August issue of the Lutheran Witness, where we talk about these heresies, their ancient roots, and how to mark and avoid them. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe or learn more at our website, witness.lcms.org. Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
You and your youth group are invited to the 2023 Higher Things Youth Conference, Beyond Reasonable Doubt, at Trinity University in San Antonio, Texas, from July 25th through the 28th. Come hear pastors Brian Wolfmuller and Chris Roseborough teach the youth of our church about doubt and apologetics and give them the assurance that their faith is beyond reasonable doubt. Remaining space is limited. Register now and find more information at higherthings.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues, Etc. guest Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.